Om Mayanatya Miranyasya Janajana Subhashaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tadmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Navabhittam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Garamayam Tatisapadanti Khan Nama Om Vishnu Buraya Krishna Pasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Nisri Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurabhani Pacharine Neva Satya Sunjavari Paskata Dejatarine Pancha Kapata Rujasya Kripa Sindhu Vevata Adita Namba Bhavevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Hare Sadha Hari Vasudhi Gobhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, a few of you asked me to speak on sort of interesting, different topic today on dreams. So I'll share something on this. In Vedic philosophy, we find that it describes four basic states of consciousness. Jagrat is called the waking state. Susupti, which is called the dream state. Svapana, deep dream state. And Turiya, or the transcendental state. So our basic interest is, of course, in transcendence. Same time we try to maintain body and soul together. We have many experiences that are associated with the physical body, and some experiences associated with our subtle presence. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam that we have a dream body, that there is actually a difference in consciousness, the difference in terms of the hierarchy of the physical condition, because we have a mind, we have intelligence, we have senses, we have a body. Of course, we are the Atma. This is that Vipariyam Vipasthanyam Prakajam Guru. Spanish and higher levels. Living entities on these different Spanish, different levels also have different degrees of grossness in their physical environment, in their physical form. Just as there was a time when the demigods would come very frequently to this planet. But as the environment, atmosphere, became more and more thick, more and more mundane, then certain entities are not so much wanting to associate because the environment does not draw them. In ancient times when sacrifices and yajnas were performed, it was not that they were just chanting mantras only for the immediate environment. But they were literally invoking and inviting the presence of great sages, great beings, to come to the environment. Like when we say the Jai Om prayers, and we say all glory to the assembly of devotees. We say all glory to the assembly of devotees. All glory to the assembly of devotees. But meaning all glory to those devotees who we physically see, or with us, and any of those who may have come due to the potency of the kirtan, bhajan, lecture, discussion, association. Prabhupada explained that when the devotion is very strong, and often when the kirtan is very powerful, then it may draw associates. It may draw entities to the environment. We do not necessarily physically see with our eyes, because according to spiritual development. Like one time Srila Prabhupada was in New York. You heard at that time a little story when he was looking in a certain direction and sitting on the Vyasa seat, sort of smiling. And then later, he went up to his room. Some devotees inquired what he was looking at, reflecting on. And he had mentioned how Narada Muni had come true view and associate in the environment. And they were having some exchange on how such people with such background, the lepers, the chandalas, are now they are chanting the holy name with such devotion. And we see there were times when devas used to come to the planet, or a higher being, apsaras, gandharas, and they would not walk on the ground, but they would walk above the ground. So we see they're having a different level of consciousness and existing, but sometimes in a different state also, different environment, but all part of Marcha Loka. So I was thinking of this in the car just only a few minutes ago, of some very classical cases of the importance of dreams and some of our stories of, that we read in the Bhagavatam or that we hear about in the Bhagavatam, try to read them. So a few I was thinking of, and you can also reflect on some, as I share one or two. One, of course, is our Śrīla Prabhupāda himself. How he mentioned how his spiritual master had appeared to him in dreams. And it told him that he should take sannyas. And the first Prabhupada mentioned how he was not so eager. And Guru appeared to give him this message. We see the example of Madhavendra Puri when he was living in a very, very renowned place. It's called Madhukar, where he would only eat if somebody brought something to him. Nobody brought anything. Just depend on Krishna, that extent. And so once he was, of course, just residing in the bush in the, outside the city area, and the deity, Gopal deity, appeared to him in the dream and explained how he had been hid in the bush and how he was, gave Madhavendra Puri into directions how to bring him out, and later the sandalwood paid for him. He appeared several times, at least take two or three different dreams. Appeared before him. And then we see example of Pundarik, of how Pundarik Vijayaniti, how once he was a very great devotee, even though he was very opulent, very royal. There's a wonderful story about him in that time of being renowned. Because accidentally he did not appear to be a devotee. Such great opulence, such royalty. But the consciousness was fixed. Because devotees in all different situations. Some may live very simply, some may be extremely wealthy, some may be in all different ashrams, but it's a matter of consciousness. So such great devotees, they have such great attention toward Krishna in a different form and how he's cared for. So Pundarik once was being disturbed about Lord Jagannath in terms of the dress. But then, in the dream, Lord Jagannath and Balaram, they appeared to him. And they slapped his face. And helped him to realize that his thinking was not proper. But because he was such a pure devotee, the Lord appeared to him in this way. And personally, helped him to appreciate and understand the situation. Then there's an example of Chankazi, who was trying to stop the Sankirtan movement. And out of mercy, in the dream, Lord Nisringadeva appeared, scared him like anything, made him change his mind. And so, special mercy. Maybe some of you can think of a few classical dreams, anyone? In the scriptures? Anybody can think of one or two? We reflect on later. There's some really nice cases. Let me explain a little bit more about the phenomena of dreams. From a spiritual and psychological perspective. One of my books, Spiritual Warrior 1, I think we didn't bring these over, but it has a little section on dreams. Because for when we're spiritual, well, the secular point, it's kind of important, or let's say very important, because many people on the planet, they spend one half to one third of their life asleep. Some people sleep 10, 12 hours a day. They sleep 8 hours a day. That's like one third of their life. So it's a lot of time. It's pretty important what happens at one third of your life. What goes on. Prabhupada mentioned to us that how healthy it was to read Krishna book before taking rest. Or to read on and reflect on something spiritual, listen to tape, do a lecture tape, bhajan tape. Sometimes devotees, they play bhajan tape, they play kirtan tape and they go to sleep. Sometimes they put it even on, you know, constant play. Or you read something. Significance is that often the state of mind you enter into the dream state often affects the kind of experiences, reflections that you have. So if you're very agitated, angry about something, suddenly very disturbed, often you don't rest nicely. Often you have some experiences. Like sometimes the kids, they see something, some movie or something, something on TV, something on video, and it's kind of frightening to them. Then they wake up with nightmares. Or they have trouble going to sleep. And sometimes adults, but none of you watch those kind of things. You don't have that problem. So you sleep very peacefully. For some people, you know, because there's so much stuff they watch, and it's all, you know, mischievousness and vicious and violence. And so it leaves impressions in their mind. When they go to sleep, they have some experience. So there are different categories that the dream fits into. First, we look at the most material aspect. Now, the most material aspect is just that. Is that a person is sleeping, the supti dream state. Some things are going on in the physical environment. And those things going on in the physical environment was not enough to wake the person up. But the activity was internalized in the consciousness. And then one began to have the dream experience that is dictated by the activity that has been now taken in. Let me give an example. Someone is sleepy and a police car drives by, the siren. So the individual didn't wake up, but they heard it. And they internalized it. And so they began to have a mental reflection like a dream that they're getting hit by a train, the train whistle is blowing. So it's a sound that's interpreted in the consciousness in a certain way. But it's actually from the external environment. Didn't wake the person up, intruded into the consciousness, and now it's produced a certain reflection, mental reflection, experience, etc. That's first stage. It's just a gross physical thing that's happening that someone begins to experience, but not to the level where it actually wakes you. Second experience, it's like sometimes we've noticed that you're very tired and you set your alarm clock and it went off and you're hearing the sound, but instead of waking up and realizing it's the alarm clock, you're thinking that some whistle is blowing, some other kind of sound is happening, and you just internalize and just keep on sleeping. And later you realize, oh, you overslept. It's been going on and on and on. You're very tired, so it's hard for you to be able to wake up right away. So, second type is, again, pretty physical or material. Some things that is happening to us in the jagrat or waking state, we're thinking about it, reflecting on it, we're desiring it, but we're not able to fulfill it or act upon it. So what happens is that it's kind of suppressed in the subconscious, but it's very much a part of us. Something that just normal state of activity, we're thinking a lot about it. And so what happens in the dream state, because the active mind is not so active, then these things that have been repressed, they come out. For instance, according to the person, the environment, the culture, people reflect on different things. That's repressed or that's important. It's like, for instance, sometimes one may have whether it's sensual dream. Because some desires are there in the consciousness, the breath, someone sleeping, they come out. Sometimes someone is very much in a deprived or impoverished state. And so they're literally starving, or they're hungry, they've been fasting for a long time. What do you think they dream about? They dream about being a big feast. All kinds of wonderful items that they're just enjoying. And they wake up and they're disappointed. But because in a waking state, they're literally very hungry. Or they're in need. So there's so much of a reflection. But in the dream state, it actually becomes dominant and creates an environment of such. So that's second. First is something that's outside, internalized. Second is something we're reflecting on. It's important to us. So we dream about it. Something. Or say, I think in some of the schools now, we're visiting the university, they're about to have the examination. Some of the kids, some of the students, they're like so anxious. They're so tight. Because, you know, all year long or all semester long they haven't studied. And now the test time is so they gotta cram everything in. They're really anxious. Well, what they'll do. And so they may have a dream that they pass the test, finish all the tests, at the best grade. When they wake up they realize they haven't taken one test. Still have to deal with all of those. Don't say. Or somebody's getting a license, you know, for driving, you know. And they're real nervous. They go to bed and they think that they passed the test. They envision that they've driven and they got a good score. So again, something that's active in the mind, but it's impressive. Now third case, a little more subtle, a little more spiritual, is someone is experiencing in the dream some things from a previous life. See, many things that happen in our dream experiences, they're actually real. And they are things that are associated with what we have done in the previous life. Because every lifetime, when we die, we give up the physical body, but the subtle body takes the soul onto its next environment. So, so many activities from previous lives, it's all within our subtle bodies. And so there are different ways sometimes how some of those impressions, phobias, fears, understandings, etc., how it comes out. And one of the ways is sometimes through the dream. So sometimes we are having some dream that's really just a reflection on things that we, same soul, but with a different physical body, has been doing or has done in the past. And so it comes. Like sometimes to, as one begins to become more spiritualized, one often begins to have reflections from previous life. Or sometimes when one comes in contact with some paraphernalia that stimulates the consciousness that begins to make the person to reflect. For instance, even some of you have had that experience. Some of you, first time you read one of Srila Prabhupada's books, you know exactly what you were getting into, but there was a knowingness and there was a stimulation and a feeling so strong that this is right, to the point that you felt so familiar even with the subject matter, even though you're reading it for the first time. Or some of you chanted the holy name. First time you chanted the holy name and you just had such an unusual experience, a paranormal or spiritual experience, because of what the name meant to you, the way it affects your consciousness. And some people, first time they chant, they just start crying. The first time they saw the deity. And they just didn't quite understand, but they just became overwhelmed. Because the soul, reaching out, it knows. And also in some cases, some devotees have been devotees in the previous life. And so the subtle body is very much associated with the devotional atmosphere. And it feels very comfortable, very much at home, wants to know more. You see that, some people are that way. They hear a little bit about philosophy and immediately they're stimulated because of some previous association, some past connection, etc. So So all of that is within the subtle body, and those things begin to come out from time to time under different states of awareness, during sleep, sometimes during some coma or anesthesia or something, when there's an altered state like that. Some people artificially produce certain things through drugs, but that is very unhealthy. And you have some reflection. Very unhealthy. Don't try that one. Either illicit or illicit drugs. But sometimes even just regular drugs, they alter the consciousness, you know, the ones you get from the pharmacy. So, another aspect is quite interesting. Well, maybe I should mention that earlier. Because that's kind of similar to the first. Because in the dream state, there's a difference between time and space. And so, sometimes things just don't seem quite rational. Because space and time is different, and the mind is reflecting on things in a different way. So sometimes you have a dream, and you're dreaming, and you're dreaming about a pink lion coming at you. Or, you know, a purple chicken. Just strange things, you know. Or you'll see someone who has the head of your friend and the body of somebody else. It's just all these mixed signals because it's the whole different experience. Or you can see how the mind is so unusual because sometimes we have a nightmare, sometimes we have a daydream. Like sometimes devotees work very hard, hopefully most of the time. But sometimes they work hard, or sometimes they're just a little dull, or sometimes a little tired. So class is going on, and someone is sort of running in. And somebody else gives them a little nudge. Provoked. At least sleep with your eyes open. Devotees have many talents. They can sleep with their eyes open. Some of the body can sleep standing up. I know one or two of the bodies, they can sleep while they're giving class. They become so expert. They go off, they come back, start talking again. So sometimes when you're daydreaming like that, and you wake up, but it's only been like a minute or two, but there's so many things, experiences, that you're reflecting on, as if it was weeks and weeks and months. So you look at your watch, you look at the time, it's only been a minute or two. So when the waking consciousness is no longer prominent, then in the dream state, whether it's a deep dream or a slight dream, they have so many experiences because the whole different space and time is the conception. And we see that the whole material world, in one sense, is nothing more than Mahavishnu taking rest. As he's breathing in and out, universes are coming. As he breathes in, the whole creations and civilizations are withdrawn, and he breathes out. It's unbelievable. Think about it. That's phenomenal. So now, another two cases, last cases, we'll put questions you have also. So another aspect is something a little bit esoteric, and in some ancient systems, this is how students would have to learn from their spiritual mentors, is that they would teach them something orally, externally, but the greatest teachings would come when the chela or disciple would go to sleep. And so at that point, they would get so much help, direct help, warning, guidance. They'd be taken different places. Now how can you take somebody someplace and the physical body is still in the bed? Prabhupada talked about the dream body, that this is the subtle body, and the subtle body can be projected away or outside of the physical body. And some people who are into siddhic development or mystic powers or something. So they often know this science or use this science. In some traditions it's called astral travel or soul travel. But the idea is some people consciously have the ability to project their subtle body, and they go and have experiences. They move around, they do things. We all have the experience, but we're not always conscious of it. Sometimes two individuals have the very same dream experience. And the reason is because they're actually associating together in the subtle body. Sometimes someone is thinking very deeply about the person they love. Say maybe the husband had to go on a business trip, or his work is such that he's away from the family for weeks or months. So he's thinking so deep about the wife, he's thinking so deep about him, thinking so much about the children. So sometimes when he goes to sleep, he actually goes home and he visits. He goes to associate. So everybody should be careful what they're doing while he's gone. So some people, they actually have that ability, consciously and unconsciously. And many times, it happens without them being aware of it. They give each other solace, and then they're not conscious of it. Some people are more conscious of their dreams, some people not. Some people are more aware of the science. So, there were ancient times when people would go to sacred pilgrimage places, go to holy areas, and they particularly wanted to take rest to go to sleep there. So they know they put their physical bodies at rest, they would have unusual experiences that would be beneficial or give them realizations and insights. And so there are some cases, some traditions where people would like to sleep in the mandir, in a shrine, someplace that's very holy. Now we all can sense that somewhat, because like many places you go and you sleep there and you don't feel comfortable at all. But sometimes some places you go, you can't sleep practically the whole night. And sometimes some of you who may travel, sometimes you have to stay in maybe a hotel or something. And it's so rough because the environment is so contaminated with so much sense gratification, and the energy is so intense that when the physical body goes to rest, you're out of the waking state, and then the subtle body is more sensitive and picking up all kinds of things. Sometimes we, in environments that are kind of, I'm not going to talk about this nighttime. Anyway, I'll talk about that part at another time today. Sometimes I talk about night, the things at night you draw it. You draw this thing. I'm going to talk a little bit about disembodied spirits and ghosts, but you draw it at night. So, you want to talk about that? But, yes, sir. But so, some places, they are occupied, you know? Like some people are very active in the sense that within their body, they are. I think you have it here. We call it in America, we call it time sharing. Where you have a house, you have an apartment, condominium, you use it, somebody else uses it. Some people's bodies, there's time sharing going on. There's a lot of different presences in that same body. Huh? A lot of different levels of energy and consciousness, and sometimes entity in the same body. So, sometimes these things become more active and sleepy. But the beautiful side, which you want to talk about, the other side is you talk about some other time, in the morning, in the afternoon. But sometimes when people are asleep, they get left. Just like when we say about the Goswami being Krishna conscious 24 hours and serving like that. That means when they were in the waking state, when they were asleep, they were still doing devotional service. Advanced devotees, they don't really sleep. Because when they go so-called sleep, they just go into another scheme of activities to do service. While they're in this dimension, this realm, they're doing service. When they go to sleep, they're just doing more service. Not a time when they're not somehow glorifying the Lord and serving the Lord. Notice how sometimes people who have been inventors, made some amazing discoveries, offered something wonderful to civilization, and sometimes they're working on a problem, working on the issue, they go to sleep and they wake up with some amazing insight. They think it was them. Often not. Sometimes what happens is that while they're asleep, they get some help. Because like they're as we said, they're angels, archangels, they're sarvas, they're gandharvas, they're yogis. There's some yogis from the Himalayas, Rishikesh, Hardwar. You say, for instance, like doing the Kumbh Mela. Sometimes some of those rishis and yogis who come down, they are hundreds and hundreds of years old. What do you think they're doing in those caves all the time? Think about it. It's natural for one to be active. Some of those yogis, they go back and they stay in the cave until the next Kumbh Mela. Sometimes they come down only 12 years, only 6 years. What would somebody be doing year after year in a cave? Many times what they do is in those caves, their physical body just put down, just like I put my jacket down, and they go out. And they're having all kinds of experiences, helping people, doing things, moving around. And so there are some beings who have just certain duties that they just help on an inner plane. And so, any of us, we all draw things according to our devotion, according to our consciousness, etc. In the waking state as well, at other times. So, that's the good side, of course, it's wonderful. And any aspiring devotee becomes more and more serious. You get external help, and you get all kind of other help that you're conscious and also unconscious. Now the last level is most important for devotion. And that's the level where it is directly spiritual. And we see in some of these stories we were telling, we started off, Prabhupada, the spiritual master coming, in the case of Krishna appearing before Madhavendra Puri, in the case of Pundarik Vijayanidhi, and there's other cases, in the case of Jagannathi. Think more, you can think of some other interesting cases in the scriptures where it's not really a dream in the sense that it's not just a mental reflection like the other cases, not just an internalization of some stimulation, not just something that's been suppressed that comes out, not just some subtle connection, but it's actually an experience with that particular personality that one is associating with in that state of consciousness. So this is a part that's very powerful, is that when the quality of our conscience and devotion in the waking state becomes more and more spiritual, then in the dream state or when the waking state is not so active, then we begin to align with all kind of powerful spiritual connections. And one way is that we get so much help from the spiritual master. So sometimes the disciple can have a dream where the spiritual master gives very distinct instructions. Or sometimes the spiritual master takes the devotee to some higher planet to do some harinam. Do food for life. Go visit different places. Like when Arjun, he was taken to court in so many places. As he was going back to Guru Maharaj, he had some still desire to visit some in some different places. So he was taken like that. So, this is very powerful. When one is getting such help, like when Prabhupada, in these different cases, hired Guru, because he's always thinking of Guru. Some distinct times, Guru just came in, gave some specific instructions, specific guidance, specific direction. And many of you have had that already. That you have been a deep reflection, trying to stir, deep reflection on your spiritual master. And sometimes some help comes. Sometimes it's distinctly your spiritual master according to the quality, the potency of the guru, according to his commission, because the individuals all have different services, commissions, etc. And also according, most important, to the sincerity of the disciple. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela says, Krishna himself appears in the form of guru to reclaim the living entity. So it's really all about Krishna. So Krishna arranging things according for the help of that particular, what that particular soul needs. Now, how do we know? Because sometimes we may have a dream or experience that we think is our guru, but there's something strange. There's something unusual. Well, two things. First, because also there can be disembodied entities who can even appear in the energy or in the form seemingly of your guru and not be the guru. So we have to see if what was said is in the mood of how the Guru normally speaks to you, relates to you, encourages you. Somebody appears to you and tells you, for the next few months you can go out to disco. Just chant a few extra rounds. You know that's not your guru. That's your mind or something else. So, well, I had a dream of my guru. He told me I could go into disco, to disco dance, and just be a good disco dancer. Whatever I should do, do it good. Krishna says, always think of me. So just think of Krishna. So we realize, no, there's not right my guru. Shakti, not Sadhu Shakti, the guru. And if we are in doubt, we do nothing. We're not sure whether the guru is appearing. We do nothing. Because if it's actually a bona fide spiritual transmission, that's a confirmation. If it's actually a bona fide connection, then what happens is that the message is already given to you, the help is already provided, and even if you don't consciously think about it, it's something for your benefit, it will benefit you regardless. See, many things that we do in our day-to-day activity, it's already been arranged in the dream state. It's already been processed, programmed. And it's not like it's so, it's a unique thing. Many things, it's already been worked on and then we act upon. That's why sometimes we find ourselves doing something and we think, I've done this before. Or it kind of hits us in an unusual way. Because it's like we've already kind of processed it, worked it out, and now we're moving through it in that sense. So, one to the last point. Then we look and we think, what is really more real? The waking state or the dream state? Because in the waking state, there's more of the gross or physical interaction. And in the dream state, it's actually more subtle. Subtle body is closer to the soul. So which is more real? Well, both are real but temporary. So we don't make such a big issue out of it because in both cases, the physical body, mature body, or the subtle mature body, it's all material. But we want to come to a point where whatever environment, whatever situation we're in, we absorb in the higher spiritual connection. And it's just as we just live our lives more and more, thinking of Krishna, serving sadhu, pleasing guru, absorbed in scripture, then whether we are physically active in work or this place, that place, or whether we're sleeping, devotional connections are going on. So let's stop there. Let's see what questions that you might have. We explained, I'll just summarize, four basic states in Vedic cosmology. Jagrat is the waking state. Susupti was the dream state. Svapana is the deep dream state. There are even different levels of dream experience. There's when there is a deeper dream state, we find the body gets nourished faster and also is more sensitive to deeper types of experiences. And you see that sometimes you go to bed, but you don't sleep so deeply, you wake up and you're still very tired. May sleep many hours, but you didn't get deep rest. There's some noise going on, or your mind is bothered, you're stressed, you know. Like now, more and more people have insomnia because they're just so much anxious about so many things. And even though they're tired, they just can't sleep. When they try to go to sleep, their mind is going like this, and they just can't rest. So many things. We've all had that experience. Hopefully we haven't had that. But you just can't sleep. You're just laying there. You're kind of envious and thinking everybody else in the house is sleeping. Somebody next to you, the next room, or next to you, next snoring. You think, why can't I go to sleep? Think about it so much, you wake up even more. So, quality. So if we are listening to something pleasant and devotional, trying to free our mind before taking rest, then we have more quality, see? We have more strength, you know, psychologically, spiritually, and physically, and to go on for the next day. We can come to a point where we're just serving constantly, so that the surreal was completely self-realized, so that for them, there's no question of sleep. They're just always active, serving Krishna in some way. So the first level of dream is internalizing something specifically in the environment. You don't wake up, but it affects you in some way. Second way is that some impressions and things that you're thinking about a lot, you're not acting upon it, then it comes out in the dream. Something that's really a part of you, but you are not having it happen, you're not acting on it, but it's repressed, so it feels over. And then the case where someone is reflecting on some things that's really things they've done or experienced in a previous life. And they're beginning to just kind of visualize and reflect on those things in a subtle state again. And then where the individual literally leaves the physical body and has certain connections. And literally has physical experiences in that state. And then the other two is where one is getting some help from spiritual beings, and of course in the last case, even help from one's own spiritual master, or from grandfather's spiritual master. Like there's some of you perhaps in the room who never saw Srila Prabhupada, never physically talked to him, but you've had some dreams. There's some devotees who have come to Krishna consciousness who never met Srila Prabhupada, but they had a dream of Srila Prabhupada. Someday they saw a picture and they realized, oh, this is the person I saw in my dream. Or they have some connection in the dream state where Prabhupada tells them to come and to join during the movement. So because he is physically not on the planet, he's in no way means he is not there to give blessings to his grandchildren, to his children, even more so concerned about how the society runs. Like a teacher is very concerned with teachers in the class. When the teacher goes out of the class, he becomes even more concerned about what everybody's doing. So these great acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda, Gopishwara Babaji, Goswami, they have not just come and disappeared, now it's all over. They are, this mission is really their mission. And we are just players trying to do, get to a chapter this way. So their blessings are ultimately there. And it's for us to be able to come up to a point we can be able to receive more, you know, of their blessings. So if anyone has any questions, does anybody get a chance to think of any dream they can remember from the scripture? Some mental reflection, but in an actual experience on that level. About, you know, vivid dreams and about releasing karma. They're sort of two different things. Not necessarily the vivid dream can be many different things, but there is a special aspect, and we can even add it to the category of dreams that we just discussed, where by the dream one experiences something that now they don't have to experience in the waking state. Prabhupada explains sometimes the spiritual masters has nightmare or some unusual dream as a way of dealing with karma from some of the disciples. Therefore, instead of having to experience that in another way, some other complexity, it's like burnt off in the dream. So it happens to all of us in different ways, that sometimes something happens to us in the dream and we don't have to experience that now, the waking state. We have shared that. Their karma effect.
Any other questions? Just briefly, we said we don't want to invite people. But, you know, there's always polarities, you know, the pious and the impious, the devas and the atheists, you know, there's the sewers and the sewers. And so just as some people can heal and give blessings, and some people do that, especially when people are asleep because they try to help. And the conscious mind does not interfere. And then some people use that as a way also to harm others, through connecting with the celebrant. But the more a person becomes strengthened with love and devotion, the more one becomes under the shelter of the parampara, then such person can have all kind of attacks and things happening to them and not be affected, not even know it. So the greatest way to deal with such things, of course, is to build up our own spiritual strength. That one will not. It's just like disease. Germs are always in the environment. Negative things are always in the environment. But now, sometimes a person gets sick, and many times it's due to the person's resistance has become weak. When resistance becomes weak, then they're so much more susceptible to the germs that are always there, but now they don't have the ability fight it off with resistance. So when our spiritual resistance gets weak, our suddenly gets weak, then those apparatus, those defenses, etc., it causes the person to have many, many problems. There are many stories in the scriptures where offenses were made and then one loses such strength. Even things that they could do before, they lose the ability and they fall prey. They have many, many problems. Any other questions? And when we execute devotional service in the proper mood, then so many wonderful auspicious things happen. If we don't, then it can be very dangerous. Just like in this town where we do this coming up, high school where it's coming up next issue. It was describing one of the, you know, I lecture in so many different environments. Because, you know, I write and I do sort of a lot of eclectic things. So I was a guest speaker at the National American Medical Association, the yearly convention. And I was talking a lot about health and things, but particularly how when there's too much stress, then not only does it bring sicknesses itself, whatever sickness you have, it aggravates it. And when there's not sufficient love, that it produces, one becomes more susceptible to all diseases. It's scientifically proven that when a person does not feel love, that they are 3 to 5 times more likely to have premature death,